good. Some of these things are good ways to explain it. There's different ways that they put it that I've never heard put that can give us ways to explain why we believe what we believe. And also, it helps us to not only be grounded ourselves, but gives us that opportunity to use this to help teach somebody else also. I think it's a very easy course to go through and teach and be a part of, and I'm hoping and praying that someday you will be able to use this in some way. You say, well, I'm not a teacher. Well, just going through this together with someone, even as a mentor, as a friend, is something that all the work is done for you. Of course, you're going to want to put work into it by studying and by praying and by being faithful. But all the work is done for you. It's something that I believe anybody could go through and read together with somebody else and be a blessing to somebody else. So I can never do that. Don't ever tell God that you can't do something. You want to know why? He's going to ask you to do it someday. So you say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, guess what? You know, the Lord might let you do it. So, and it is a privilege. The last couple weeks, we've been pushed for time, so we are hoping to go over the answers from last week's lesson, but we will just continue to go from there and just not go over those answers till the end if we have time. And the next week, and then the following week, we're going to have Brother McBride, and then the following week, we will have some other, like I said, a number of weeks after that, you're going to have a different Sunday school teacher rotating in, and I think you'll enjoy that also. Okay, so go and tell the good news. That's this week's lesson. So we've gone through, we've progressed through, we've gotten to a lot of things and helped them understand a lot of basics. Remember, you're going to be talking to the person across the table that is either a new Christian or an immature Christian, someone that needs to go through this. And this is something that they need to learn, all these things. I know some of these things are things that you say, well, I already know, and I don't need to. You know what? We all can learn. We can all can grow, and this gives us an avenue. So this is about being a soul winner. This is about the gospel that Jesus Christ has given us, the word of God that God's given us, and the opportunity we have to share it. This is an important lesson to get through to somebody. You say, why is it so important? How many people are doing it? You know, once again, you sit across, you teach them from the beginning that God's given them this treasure to teach and to show, you know what, this might help them from the beginning to begin teaching. And if they get into a pattern of doing it, it will make it a lot easier. I know many times we don't teach people, they're supposed to tell others, they'll never know it. They'll never, because it's not easy to do. It's a difficult thing to do. But sharing your faith, communicating your faith are huge things that God wants us to do with the generation that we have. So we'll start here on page 241. We'll read through this together. I'll tell you the blanks if you like to follow along. The greatest news in the entire world is the message of salvation. And it is the greatest news. I know it's, you know, this life seems so attractive, and we have so many things that we are planning on doing, this and that. You know, it's all eternity. We are lost and on our way to a horrible place called hell, and Jesus Christ gave us a way to have salvation and a way to heaven, and you know, we can tell that to other people. I mean, we should be excited about that. It is the greatest message, the greatest story that's ever been told, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he rose from the dead, and that he offers forgiveness to all who will trust him as their Savior. This is called the gospel. Your first blank is the word gospel. Your first blank is the word gospel, which means the good news. I know it's sometimes when I hear people that go up and say, hey, can I give you some good news, as they're passing out a tract? And I thought, well, that's kind of an interesting way to put it. And they're like, well, it is good news. It's the gospel, and that's what it means. You look what it says in 1 Corinthians 15:1. It says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, another verse later. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. You know, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again according to God's plan. God used someone to bring this message to you, and it is now your privilege to bring it to others. In today's study, we discover God's plan for getting this message to the entire world. You're part of that plan, and how the Holy Spirit empowers you for the job. If it was me teaching that person that's across from me, I would tell them how I got the gospel. And you say, well, how did you get the gospel? Well, there was somebody that lived down the house down the street from my mother, and she went by and said, can I take your kids to church? And that's how she started going to church. Her and my aunt got saved, and from that, my grandparents got saved. And the same thing with my dad. Someone had told my dad, and someone from down the street when he was a child, do you want to go to church with me? And, you know, they went to church as a young person, and then he didn't get saved, I believe, at a younger age. He got saved at a later on, but he got used to going to church and understanding, and God, he heard the faith, and he heard the gospel, and guess what? It clicked, and God worked in his heart. He was convicted, and he asked Christ to save him. So, my mom brought it to me. She started taking me to church, and I got saved tonight during a revival service. So the man who spoke, God used, my having that church, my pastor, God used, and my Sunday school teacher, God used, my mom, God used, and that lady that brought my mom, you know, all those different things. Started with a lady just going down the street and say, hey, can I take your kids to Sunday school with me? You never know how it's going to impact others. And so I explained that to them. You know, it's not all about a preacher or a pastor. It's about individuals that are going to turn around and do what God has given and asked them to do. So your first major point is we are commanded to spread the gospel. So this is something that we want people to understand. We're commanded to spread the gospel. When Jesus came to earth, his mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. The Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So anyway, why is that important to understand? Lots of people think Christ and Jesus only came to do miracles and only came to do things to teach us how to live. And he did all those things, but that was not his mission. His mission was to seek and to save that which was lost. Matthew 9:36 tells us, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved to compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So Jesus saw the people lost in the sin. His heart was moved with compassion for them. And this is how we're supposed to look at others. Sometimes we look at people in disdain. Sometimes we look at people like, I don't really want to talk to them. I don't really like them. When Jesus saw that large crowd, he was moved with compassion. And when we see those big crowds at the mall or at the store, we're like, ugh. And yes, we are frustrated because it might take more time, but we see people that are lost. We see that they have a need. And when we recognize people that either as a person who's saved and on their way to heaven or as a person that's lost and going to hell, if we see people that way, it will change the way we act. Number one, we want to treat them differently because they're a brother or sister in Christ. We should have fellowship. Or number two, I need to make sure I act the right way because that person's soul's got a place to go. And if I'm selfish and I act immature and I act wrong, I could respond and help that person not have any interest in hearing the gospel. So when you interact with that person, that cashier, or that person at that restaurant, or that person you want to get an attitude with when you're driving, you know, those are things you got to remember, that those people all have souls, and our testimony may be something that's in question someday. You know, if you get mad at somebody in the car and then you go out door knocking this week and you knock on their door and they look at you and say, hey, I remember you. You're the one that was yelling at me through the window or beeping the horn or just tailgating, you know, what type of testimony is that going to be? They're going to be like, I don't want anything that you have. But when you have the right testimony, the people you live with, you know, the people that live near you, all those things. Let's keep on going. And it is this mission that Christ gave his life. And even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus could have came and done anything. He could have been anything. And he came to be a minister for us. So the next thing is, spreading the gospel is the responsibility of the church. Spreading the gospel is the responsibility of the church. After Jesus was resurrected and before he ascended to heaven, he gave his disciples instructions to reach the entire world with the gospel. We call this the Great Commission. And you, some familiar verses here. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. So this is a responsibility that he gave to that first group together. That's what we called the church. We looked at the church as the called out group body of believers. And after Jesus was resurrected and before he ascended to heaven, he gave his disciples instructions. He gave them these instructions to do. And, you know, it tells us what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to teach them. And we're supposed to see them saved, baptized, and then teach them. And that's part of what discipleship is. Next thing is simply, next blank is primary responsibilities. Simply put, spreading the gospel and teaching new believers are the primary responsibilities of the local church. Primary responsibilities. Other ministries and activities are encouraging and helpful, but they are not the church's main purpose. We love having our different programs. We like having ladies' appreciation luncheons. We like having children's ministries. We like doing, but you know, the main goal needs to be centered around the gospel and teaching others. And that's our main goals. Spreading the gospel is accomplished through soul winning, is your next blank, soul winning, and missions. Missions. So you have those two words, soul winning and missions. God has given us a plan to be able to spread the gospel in our own communities and around the world simultaneously. Acts 1:8 says, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth." So this is teaching them a responsibility that we should be witnesses. Witnesses of what? Witnesses of what God's done in our life. And then you can talk to them about how he spoke about Jerusalem being their city and Judea, the outlying areas, and then Samaria, the rougher parts of the area, and then to the other part of the earth. That's something you can teach to people and say, hey, look, it's not just for one person or another. How did you come to know Christ? Someone had to tell you, and we're supposed to reach out to others also. When we share the gospel personally, we often call this soul winning because we're using our witness to tell others how their souls can be saved. And so I know some people don't like that phrase, soul winning. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work. He does. I like it because it's got some biblical connotation to it. Proverbs 14:25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. So a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So you have the idea there of winning souls, and that's what we're doing, is we're winning souls for Christ. I know the Holy Spirit does all the work. He prepares us. He prepares the other person. He uses the word of God, but we're still soul winning with the Holy Spirit's power. Additionally, as a church, we support people who go to countries around the world bringing the message of salvation. This is called missions. And it is God's plan to reach the world with the gospel. And so I think it's a good way to introduce this and say, hey, look, we have missions. We support people that go to places we are not able to go. And it says the first missionaries were sent out from the church in Antioch. So you see that this is brought back to the local church, shows the importance of the local church, and shows that, you know, they need to be faithful to church because it's supposed to be the hub of things that happen and people are sent out of. And where do you see that? Well, it says the first missionaries were sent out. It says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Didn't mean that they kicked them out. That means that they were sent to be missionaries. And as you read the Bible following that, you're going to see churches were planted, people were won to Christ. As you read through the rest of the book of Acts, you'll find that these missionaries went to city after city, preaching the gospel and then organizing a church with new believers in each city. This is still God's plan for missions today. And it is our privilege to support missionaries with prayer and financial gifts and thus have a part in spreading the gospel in places we may never go. So this is, you teach them, that's how a church starts or how a church is supposed to start, is when God puts a burden on people or on a man and they go and they get sent out of another church to start a church. Okay, your next main blank is on the next page. We are instructed to witness. We are instructed to witness. Spreading the gospel is not just the church's job. It is the personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is your next blank. Two words. Personal responsibility of every Christian. Remember, the local church is comprised of individual people. Individual people. Individual people. So we're telling people, they come part of a church, So as our church's responsibility, and since you make up the church, it becomes a personal responsibility. As the Bible even tells us, God has entrusted us with the gospel, and we must be faithful to give it to others. Look at this verse. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul saying that it's something that was committed to him. The gospel has been committed to us. So how do we do this? So know the gospel and how, H-O-W, to share it. Know the gospel and how to share it. God made salvation simple and easy to share. It is so simple, in fact, that there are just five main points you need to remember as you're sharing the gospel with someone else. Now, I know there's different programs that teach us about winning people to Christ, and I'm not saying those are bad. I think those are good. But when you're talking to a new Christian, an immature believer, we need to put these main things in here, because probably most of us were brought to Christ by someone talking to them about the Romans Road. Not all of us, but it does give us an opportunity and show us the importance of needing Christ. So that's why they have, even for their memory verses this week, that they learn all five of these points. But these five points are important for salvation. It's necessary for salvation. First, that God loves you. I think that's an important thing that people understand. God loves you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yes, we're sinners. We're getting ready to tell them, hey, look, you're a sinner, you're lost, you're guilty, and you're going to go to hell. But you start off by saying, you know, God loved you. You start off by explaining to them the love of God, and that God loved them, God cared for them, and God desires for them. That's why he made them way. Not only does God love you, you see, everyone is a sinner. There must be an understanding of conviction of sin for someone to be saved. Someone must be convicted. You just cannot say some words. They must realize that they're a sinner, and that they're, because of their sin, there's a wage to pay. So everyone is a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin has a price that must be paid. For the wages of sin is death. That is important to help them understand that this is not just a game. This is something that's serious and must be dealt with. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He causes a gift. You know why it's a gift? It's because of the fact that we cannot earn it. We cannot work for it. We cannot do anything that's going to cause us to do it. It's simple faith and believing and trusting in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sin. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's an important part. They need to understand the gospel. He died for our sins. He rose again. You can ask Jesus to be your Savior, Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we're not trivializing the gospel message. These are verses people use. People can use other verses. But it's important not to try to get people just to say a prayer, but that they understand it and under conviction of sin, understand they have a need and that they want to be saved. These are verses that people use. These are great starting points for a new Christian. It says on the side there, as a mentor, walk through the main points above as if you are presenting the gospel to a person you are discipling. So you can even practice a little bit if you have time. Demonstrate how you share these truths in a conversation. It's always good to start a conversation out with somebody about physical things and then turn it to spiritual things. That's something where you go up to somebody, you talk to them for a few minutes, and then you begin to discuss with them, and then you ask them something to get them thinking about eternity. These streamlined points are the main truths of the gospel. If you learn this outline and the verses that go with it, you will be well on your way to being able to tell others how they can be saved. The very best way to learn how to be a personal soul winner is to go with an experienced soul winner and to listen to him or her share the gospel several times. That's true. I think once a person gets saved, they can go and express their desire. They learn these things. They talk to other people. But it's good to have someone there that is an experienced soul winner to help them too. Next thing is be prepared. Be prepared. Not only learn how to do it. And I wonder how many of us in this room could say, you know, I feel comfortable leading someone to Christ. But be prepared to share your faith. You know, there's one thing knowing how. Probably many of us know those five verses. But are we prepared to share our faith? God made us his ambassadors of the gospel message. It says, now then we are ambassadors of Christ, for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. So as an ambassador, there's a certain representation we want to give. there's a certain way we want to handle ourselves. Those that are ambassadors for America to other foreign countries, there's a certain expectation how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to live. And there's a message they're portraying. They're supposed to be portraying the message of America, the message that the president has given them to portray. So we are ambassadors, and we've been given a message, and we need to portray it the way God would want us to. We don't need to add things to it. We don't need to take things away. We don't need to come up with a new method. We need to do it God's way. And this means that you want to be ready at all times to share your faith. As an ambassador, doesn't mean we take certain days off. We're always an ambassador. Whether an unexpected opportunity arises or you have a specially created opportunity, always be ready to share with others what God has done in your life. You know, these are opportunities God brings. Now, they are not the only people. You shouldn't just wait for people to come to you. You need to go to people and have encounters, and you need to speak to people about it. You need it on purpose. As it says here, some of these could be, we can create the opportunity or unexpected opportunities. So we should be doing things on purpose to be able to share the gospel with other people. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give the answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Sanctify the Lord Jesus in your heart. That gives the idea that we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord. Be reconciled unto God, meaning that we need to be saved, but also we need to make sure that we're in the right relationship. We need to be prepared to share our faith by making sure we understand it, but also by making sure our hearts are right with God. Here are some practical tips. Carry gospel tracts wherever you go. The word tracts is your next blank. T-R-A-C-T-S, tracts, wherever you go. Put several tracts of outreach cards in your pocket. I carry some in my shirt pocket most days, or in my back pocket if I'm not wearing a dress shirt. In your wallet, your purse, your car door, your backpack, whatever place will be handy for you to be prepared to give them out. Gospel tracts are great to be able to leave with someone if you only have a minute with them, such as a store cashier, and they often help a helpful conversation starter with a coworker or neighbor. You know, I know we have a few tracts out there. You know, there's tons of good tracts out there. Make sure that they're biblical, and make sure they're something that you wouldn't mind representing as you give out. Because see every relationship in your life as an opportunity is your next blank. Opportunity, O-P-P-O-R-T-U-N-I-T-Y, opportunity to be God's ambassador. So see every relationship in your life as an opportunity to be God's ambassador. You know, I let the Lord, Holy Spirit of God, lead and direct here. If you're right with the Lord, you're walking with the Lord, not every single person you're going to have that, feel that comfort or ability to talk to somebody about it. But you can be an ambassador, and everything is an opportunity to at least give them a track, to have the right testimony. Sometimes I'm not going to go through the whole plan of salvation with every single person. Sometimes I wait till next time. I build relationships. Someone could die and go to hell tomorrow, and so we should. But let the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide you on this. He's the one that is he's the one that does the work anyway. Doubtless you know unsaved people, family members, friends, coworkers, neighbors, people with whom you do business, etc. Who knows but that God may have placed you in their lives to bring them the gospel. Look for opportunities to share with them the wonderful news of salvation. You see a little spot over there, practice giving a gospel tract to one another, role-playing as if the other is unsaved. You know, do that with the person you're there with. Say, you know, this is how I would do it. Can I give you some good news? And you hand it to them. Or can I invite you to our church? Or ask them a question, you know, whether it's a cashier or whether it's a neighbor or a friend or an employee, a coworker. You know, part of the reason why we put out postcards for Spring Revival is because of the fact that these are new avenues to invite people to come to something you've already invited them to. Hey, look, we're having special meetings. You know, we're doing this and we're doing that. You never know how a track may work. You never know how an invitation may work. You know, God uses those things. And that's why we print off a couple thousand of these, not just so we can have extra time. No, we believe that God can work, and that's why we want to be prepared for it. Next thing is schedule a time to go soul winning. Schedule a time, T-I-M-E, to go soul winning. Although we should be soul winners everywhere we go, our busy lives often crowd out this God-given assignment. What gets scheduled gets done. So schedule a regular time to purposely share the gospel. So this, you know, this is a time that you say, hey, on this day, at this time, on Saturday mornings, we go out and we door knock most weeks. Sometimes we do canvassing, sometimes because we have visits that we need to do and we like to catch up with people. There's a wider range of things, but we need to schedule a time. I know we don't have very many people that come out on Saturday. I'm not trying to make people feel guilty about it because there's nothing magical about Saturday at 10 a.m., but there is something about that we should have time that we set aside to try to win people to Christ. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells us we're commanded to do. It's our primary responsibility. When you're talking to that person across the room, you're not going to beat them over your head about it, but you're also going to say, this is something you should get used to doing. You're not going to do it unless you have it scheduled to do, and unless you, and unless the opportunities come about, yes, you're going to do that sometimes, but it's scheduling a time is important. And then he says, discuss the organized soul winning times available at your church. These are often great opportunities to be partner with an experienced soul winner who can teach you to share the gospel. We have ladies that go out throughout the week and visit people and things like that. So there are times that we can be scheduled that you, if you like to have a part in that, offer to be that person's partner, you know, to go do that. We are, the next big highlighted thing is we are enabled by the Holy Spirit. Does the prospect of sharing your faith with someone else scare you? If so, there is good news. You have a divine helper, God himself. And be honest with the person. There's intimidation there. There's fear. The Satan doesn't want you to do it. He's going to fight you tooth and nail. It's not always comfortable. As you surrender yourself to God and you give yourself over to the Lord, he will give you confidence. He'll grow your faith. And so that way that fear may never go all the way away, but that anxiety will shorten because as you continue to do it for him, the Lord will be able to bless you and use you as you see people saved. So that next blank is the word empowers. The Holy Spirit empowers us. The Holy Spirit empowers us. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to go with you and I'm going to enable you to do this. Acts 1:8. It says, but ye shall receive power. So he empower us to do it. We don't have to do it on our own. If your Holy Spirit is, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're doing the work through the Holy Spirit, he'll give you the words to say. You know, sometimes things come to your mind when you're talking to someone that you would have never ever thought about. That's the Holy Spirit bringing these things to your mind to try to help that person to be saved. The Holy Spirit works in hearts. Next blank is hearts. The Holy Spirit works in hearts. Not only does the Holy Spirit help us as we share his message, but he helps the listener understand the truth. You might say, those things aren't going to get a person saved or understand a person. The Holy Spirit helps them understand those truths. As we are obedient to share the message of the gospel, it is actually the Holy Spirit who works in the heart of our hearers to convict them of their need for Christ and to convince them to place their faith in him. It's not about, you know, having the exact words to say. And the reality is that when I got saved, the man was preaching about the second coming of Christ. I thought, you know, I went back into my testimony. I remember as a kid, so I felt like my heart was falling apart. The walls of Jericho was falling down. Something had to happen. And, you know, he didn't give the Romans Road that night, but I saw my need. My heart was convicted of sin. And then I went to someone and they explained to me what gospel, and I actually told the lady I didn't need any help because I already knew, and I did because I'd been in church for those 8 or 9 years of my life. But I'm glad that person was there to help me understand and be able to remind me of things and go through things with me. But it's a faith and believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So it's not an exact word. It's not having a routine down perfectly. It's being led by the Holy Spirit of God and letting him work in us. There are certain things I say to most people, but I let the Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Because the Holy Spirit's the one that works in the heart. He knows what that person needs to hear. And as he leads you, then he'll also convict their heart. Notice the words Jesus spoke to his disciples, assuring them of the reality of the Holy Spirit's presence in their lives. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. It's our job to be a faithful witness. It's not our job to convince somebody. It's not our job to force somebody. It's not our job to trick anybody. It's not our job to try to make them feel bad about doing it. It's not our job to get somebody off our back. You know, I went through one soul winning course, and someone was there, and they taught them they used a Romans road, and they talked about praying with the individual, and then they talked about pumping their hand because they held hands when they prayed about, you know, it was like they were trying to get them to do something. And yes, the Bible says we're supposed to compel them to come in. We're supposed to beseech them. We're supposed to do these things. But at the same time, we're not supposed to give them something that really isn't from their heart. We're not supposed to give them something that they don't believe. They're doing it because they want to please you. They're supposed to be able to come to the understanding, I need something. Help me to understand what I need. We could say the Holy Spirit is the real soul winner. We are the witnesses that he uses. Look what it says. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And we do that. You know, are you a sinner? I don't know. What's a sinner? Have you ever done something wrong? And have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen? These are all things that you talk to somebody to help them understand that they are sinners and in need of a Savior. What a privilege it is to know the gospel, and now it is your privilege to share the gospel. And so when you're talking to that person across the room, this helped you get saved. You're born again. You're on your way to heaven. It's a privilege to have this. Now, what are you going to do with it? Getting to share the good news of salvation with another person is one of the greatest joys of a Christian's life, topped only by the joy of getting to see someone trust as their Savior. If you have the right heart and the right mindset, you know what's going to happen? It's going to be a joy to tell somebody else. Here, and this is the application time, here are a few ways you can prepare to share the gospel with others. Number one, begin praying for opportunities to share the gospel. Whom do you know personally that you should share the gospel with? Add that person's name to your daily prayer list. Ask the Lord to give you an opportunity. You might even ask your mentor to go with you to present the gospel to that person. You pray for an individual. And I know that on my prayer list, I have people that I believe do not know Christ. And when I see them, I've prayed for them. And when I'm doing what I'm supposed to, I pray for them almost every day. I go through it. My prayer list, I do a lot more 6 days a week instead of 7 days, because Sunday I'm spending a lot of time praying and doing other things, getting prepared for the sermons. But I do spend time alone with the Lord. So that way when I see that person, I can know that my heart is there and that I'm ready to present the gospel and talk to them when they have the opportunity. Next thing, ask someone to train you and schedule a regular time to witness together. You know, talk to somebody about it. This year, during the summertime, I'm praying to the Lord. I'm looking at some different soul-winning courses that we're on Wednesday nights. We're thinking about going through a soul-winning course, a shorter one. And I'm praying about which way, because we all need to know that. And we all need to be regularly reminded. And we all need to be regularly encouraged. But doing it one-on-one is always the best way, just like your discipleship course is best that way. Whom do you know who already knows how to share the gospel clearly with others? Take the initiative and ask that person if you can go with them several times as they are witnessing, as you can learn from them. If you're a man, it's always better to ask the man. Likewise, if you're a lady, it's always better to ask a lady. You say, why? Well, you know, unless you're married, it's not going to give the right representation to the people you're talking to also. So it's always best that way. And if there isn't a lady, you can go with a husband and wife, and they can do it. Next thing is practice, practice, practice. Learn the five main points with the verses. And don't get me wrong, the five main points is not like it's the golden key. There's different ways. I know when I talk to someone who does not interest in the Bible, not interested in church, don't believe that there's a God, I talk to them about creation first, just to help them understand there is a God. Someday you will be accountable to the God. Doesn't matter if they don't believe in God, don't believe in the Bible, don't believe that there is a God. You know, what's the matter? You're going to stand before God in judgment someday. So I don't believe there's a God. So there are different ways that we need to make sure that we work on these things. But those five verses are a great starting point. Practice leading an imaginary person through them aloud. You say, that sounds goofy. Well, you know, it is good to practice and memorize. Talk to people that, you know, other Christians that you can talk to about. Practice over and over. This will help you listen to yourself and know if you're explaining clearly. It will also help you become more familiar with the basic message, so you can share it with real people who need the Lord. You know, if you know people who you're not sure if they're saved or not, you can say, hey, look, I've been working on this. Can I share this with you? Can I try this on you? Is there anything that you didn't understand? And not trying to deceive somebody, but that's your heart's motive. But at the same time, you're getting the word of God in that person's life and heart too. This is an important lesson. And if you can get it early, then that's great. You say, why is it important? Because don't we all want to see our friends and our family saved? Don't we all want to see the lost come to know him? Not everybody's going to accept. The Bible talks about there's not going to be a lot of people. But we can do our part. We have a tremendous opportunity here. Let's make sure we're sharing the gospel. How many of us shared the gospel with somebody last week? How many even of us even gave out a gospel tract? How many people talk to the Lord? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. I want the Holy Spirit of God to convict your heart because he says it's what we're supposed to do. And it's important to teach that person across the table what also that it's important. Okay, so we do have a few minutes. So we're going to go over our questions at the end of the last chapter. I know the first bell is going to get ready to ring, but we'll go over those questions that we were supposed to do last week. Hopefully you did them. Not for my sake, but so that way you can be looking up. Page 239. If I know some of you had to leave when that first bell rings. Page 239. That last week's lesson was about finances and being good stewards. I know those that have the print-offs don't have 239 because of the fact that it was last week's lesson. Okay, so the first question is, what three truths are absolutely crucial for understanding how a Christian should view their finances? Anybody got the answer? That's right. That's one. That's right. And that's number two. Number three. That's right. So that's right. So you got those three are really huge to answer. But if we get those things down, it changes our lives. God owns everything. And we are supposed to be managers, stewards, and we will give an account. Next one. As a steward, what is our job? This one was a little bit harder to find. Manager. That's right. Managing God's possessions and what God gives us. How much is the tithe? 10%. So that one, you know, might be a little harder to find. And that way you can tell people and teach people about that. And if they have questions, because once again, that's a sensitive sensitive topic, touchy subject. And we want people to give because they're giving through the Lord. Some people don't believe that. I think that it gave a scriptural reason to it. I believe it. I partake in it and practice in it. Some people might not, but explaining it to that person over there, that's an important thing to understand. Okay, how did Paul instruct the first century Christians on giving? Give regularly. Anything else? Give by grace and give by portion. That's right, give regularly according to the portion you receive. Give by grace, and there's one last one. Give willingly. So these are all, like I said, these are wonderful things to go over with the people. If you go over the answers, you know what's going to happen. They're going to do the questions. If you don't go over the answers, it's probably a 50-50 point that they might do the questions, they might not. Usually you want to do it at the beginning instead of the end. Number five, next page, 240. Giving to God does not make you become wealthy, but rather, what has God promised to do if you give? That's right. He's promised to take care of us. He will meet our needs. What are some of the ways that God will reward our giving? This blessings, bless the gift, multiply fruit to our account. That's one of the ways he blesses us, I believe. So those are a couple of things there. Some of the questions were maybe a little bit more difficult in the idea that they weren't written out exactly the way that we thought, but I think these are all the right answers. Okay, what is the greatest reason to give to God's work? See soul saved? That's right. You're right, because there's a love there. The book said as an opportunity to invest in eternity, which is true. But it's right, out of love of Christ, the love of Christ constraineth us, because God told us to do it. It's amazing how some people work. You know, some people do it, man, I'm going to follow that commandment because I love the Lord so much. Some people are like, I'm going to do that commandment because God told me to do it. And I don't always like to do it, but I'm going to do it because I want to be right with the Lord. And then some people say, hey, look, I'm going to invest in eternity, and I see the importance. They all work together, but different people have different motives. Different people use different motivations. And there are certain things in my life that I love doing for the Lord. There are certain things in my life that I do because I want to be right with the Lord, and I need to get to the spot where it's the love of Christ constraining me to do it. But just because I don't feel like tithing, or just because I don't feel like obeying or feel like being nice to you, do I want to commit another sin and not do it? No. I want to continue on doing it. So we want to make sure our hearts are right, but I want to make sure that I'm doing it for the right motives. The love of Christ should be that bring glory to God is, I think, the greatest motive. I want to honor him with my life. Okay, so that's it for this week. I will have one more lesson. I think it's going to be talking a little bit about